Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to unlock the combination to your life's true potential.
Living Out Loud
with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. Dr. Birnbaum is a research psychologist, psychoanalyst, and author of What Price Power? An in-depth study of the professional woman in a relationship. She's an expert on depression, women's issues, attaining happiness, and so much more.
You got a gift, my friend.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I really hold on.
Yes, you do.
Now, here's Dr. Frieda Birnbaum,
Living Out Loud.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our show. We're going to have some interesting discussions. You can reach me, as always, Dr. Frieda, DrFrieda. So we're ready to go. Hi, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing unbelievable, Dr. Frieda. And it's been a very busy week.
There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, a lot of interesting stories, and one of the things that the media has been talking to you a lot about lately is they've been talking to you about Bruce Jenner. I mean, we did a whole discussion about this when you're saying, quite frankly, I guess from your perspective, that it's pretty amazing that a person would put themselves through so much, you know, body through so much, that they were just doing a plea for attention. Do you feel that he's going to have an impact for the positive on people who are coming out?
Absolutely. You know, we always need someone to break the mold, and it's a stigma, it's something that's uncomfortable. So here is someone doing something that seems really outrageous, but guess what? There are a lot of the population, I'm not saying the majority, but a lot of people who have been thinking about it and have had difficulty with feeling unaccepted. And here is a public figure, someone in the media, who's going to be setting this pace by letting everyone know about the different steps that he's taking. And he's already, I mean, taking steps. He has long hair now. I think he's taking hormone treatment. And just the fact that everyone knows about it, that's a huge first step. So this is a curiosity for everybody, but also something which is going to be a learning experience as well.
And yeah, I want
very,
to just...
interesting.
Yeah, it's true about him. And then I want to point out something that on drfrieda.com, you write a lot of your blogs. You wrote something I thought was pretty interesting. You're talking about the way women are looked at today. And that women, I guess they're expected to be multitasking. And this kind of ties to that thought you were talking about Hillary Clinton. I was wondering, how are women looked at today compared to where they were 20 years ago? And do you think that there is a greater balance of equality amongst men and women today than there was 20 years ago?
I hate to say this, and you may disagree with me, but this is almost like a backlash to what happened 20, 30 years ago. We're
really
judging her by, look, she's stiff, she's rigid, she's not connecting, she's looking in a way that she's not smiling enough. It's all about Hillary and her personality. You know, give it a break. We've come a long way. Women are productive. They're successful. They're powerful. Let's judge them appropriately. So this is extremely disappointing that she is judged by such standards that men absolutely would never be judged. And so we have to see if not only we could make changes, but to have a woman president would really help other women, would empower them to be seen differently. So I think it's time. It's time when we have this change, and it's important that we see other women appropriately for who they are. So this is all good, but, you know, again, it's a way of treating women second class, which is not a good thing. Disappointing.
I want to just pause for 1 second and just let you know that we have a very first caller calling in. It's from a 516 area code, and we'll take that call right now. Good
Perfect.
Afternoon. You're live on the air with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum.
Hey, good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be on your show. I'm a little bit nervous, I must say, though.
Well, you sound great, so you're doing a good job so far.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. So I understand, you know, from listening to a lot of your shows that you're kind of like Mother of the Year over there. Is that accurate?
Am I Mother of the Year? Are you referring
more or less.
To my family?
You got a ton of kids and what's that?
Oh, Well, I wish I was the mother of the year. It sounds like a good deal. My kids are right now taking piano lessons, and all three of them right now. And so they're kept busy for a moment. That's true.
Gotcha. You know what? Maybe you can help me out. I'm actually having a bit of an issue with my daughter.
Okay. How old is she?
Every during the day, she, you know, in school and everything, she's fine. She's 5 years old, and when it comes to nighttime, she gets crazy and starts running around the house, and she's being a little wild woman.
Well,
keep putting her to bed, and she keeps getting out, running around, and waking her brother up, and waking us up, and just being crazy, and just wanted to know if you had any suggestions.
Well, I was just wondering, is this the way she is always, or is this something new?
It's relatively new. It's just really in the evening time when it's night time, and it's driving myself and my wife crazy.
Sometimes when a child is not active enough, I just did some kind of interview on orphanages and how these kids were really medicated because they weren't given enough activities. That's very sad and very cruel. So I'm not saying that you're cruel, of course, and you're trying to be a good parent, but just calling in is telling me that you're trying to be a good parent. So the real question is, if a child is hyperactive or needs more activities, they will be, out of control later on, maybe later in the day or at the moment. So she may need more than her sibling. Did you say she had a brother or a sister?
She has an older brother.
Older brother. So, you know, if she has that kind of persona that she needs to be active, it's very possible that during the day there's a void. There's not enough for her. And then again, we can't look away from the fact that she may have issues that need to be looked at. Maybe she has some emotional agendas that she needs to relate to, but she can't, so she's acting out. So these are things that can be looked at, but one of those two things are most likely what would make the difference and what would solve
the
problem.
Do you think she needs a therapist at this point, or do you think she just needs a little more activity to tire her out?
Yeah, let's not go to therapy yet. You know, let's see if it's just something physical. I mean, therapy itself can be difficult for a child if they feel that they're put on the spot. So I wouldn't be so quick. And anyway, kids can't really absorb that kind of information or really relate. You know, parents would have to be part of it. I mean, but that's a good question. Often if it's the parents who need the therapy, if the child is acting out. But it sounds like this is something that if she's being very physical and she is acting out at night at the same time all the time, there's a message right there that she's not able to calm down and to settle down. And as I said, maybe it's physical, and maybe it's something emotional that she just needs to talk about to her parents. But I don't think therapy is something at this point in time is going to make that.
That's good, because I can't afford another payment for these kids, you know?
Good.
It's take.
That's all they do is take. That's what
exactly.
Kids are for, I think. You have to. Do you have time to give to yourself?
Always try to, but, doesn't always happen, as you know.
You try to, but, you know, maybe your own frustrations are sort of seeping through with you and your child. If you're not going to feel good and taken care of, how can you take care of your child?
That's a great point. I'm going to have a few beers tonight and ponder that one.
Okay, well, wait till the child is sleeping first.
Absolutely. Hey, you know what? Thank you
beers.
For taking my call. I was a little nervous, but you really set my nerves at ease, if you will.
Well, it sounds like you're a caring parent and you want to do the right thing, and I'm sure it sounds like you're on your way already. So lots
of
love.
Well, A, I
want
to do the right thing, and B, I just really want to get to sleep, and that's the implement I was just getting, you know?
That's hard. It's tough, but that's part of being a parent. What can I tell you? Just don't
have
those fears before your child goes to sleep.
Very good. Thank you, Doctor.
My pleasure. Be well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Dr. Frieda, you have another
phone
call.
So that was interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. Kids, and we've got another call coming in. It's from a 443 area code. Hello, you're live on the air with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum.
Hi, Dr. Frieda. I have a question for you, just as a general question. I have a 15-month-old daughter, and my concern now is with all this stuff on the news about parents who are quote-unquote neglecting their kids because they let them walk to school by themselves. I feel like my generation was the last generation to be the independent children. How do you find the balance of giving our kids that independence and that feeling of they can do it on their own, because society has really pushed this helicopter parenting? So how do we do that without you know, being interfered with by everybody else? How do we give our kids that independence?
That's an excellent question, and it's difficult to know when it's safe and when it's not safe. I think a good rule would be independence is good as long as you know that there is no risk. Once you have a question, even if you feel there may be a problem and there is none, I would not advise you to take a chance. So if it means walking around the block, and if it's a safe neighborhood, and you know that the parents, the kids are on the block and they know your child, and if the child is of age, that's important too. So if your child is responsible and old enough to handle something, that is important to know as an individual situation, rather than saying, well, you know, everybody else is doing this, so this is something that, why not? That's not the case. Some children are not comfortable themselves doing it, so it's good to have an open discussion of what you would like to do, rather than Michael across the street gets to do this. But so what? It doesn't really matter. If a child can handle something, that's really where the decision lies, rather than what the age of that child is. And of course, you have to be comfortable with that decision as well.
Well, thank you. I think it's just so difficult anymore because we've become that society of parents being so involved with everything. It's kind of hard to really figure out where to step back so that later down the line they're not so dependent on us.
That's right. So, you know, it is hard. There's a fine line between giving your child this freedom and being safe. But freedom does not necessarily mean taking chances, and I think that's where the difficulty is. Freedom can be a state of mind. If a child has a question and you say, what do you think? If a child is going somewhere and you give him choices and let him know that he can handle himself, it doesn't even mean that you can't be within the vicinity of that child to let that child feel that they're independent, that they have good decisions, and that this gives them confidence. So that's what freedom can mean without having to be separate from this child. Now, if the kid is 14 years old and you're having difficulty with letting him go on a bus trip with the other children, then those are issues, because it's very much age-related as well. So you have to know that, you know, if your child is doing what's appropriate, apropos to what's going on with his classmates, that sort of gives you the measuring stick of where he or she should be without having to make any further decisions on your own. So what I'm saying is, don't make it difficult that you have to be the one that makes the final decisions. See what's appropriate for the age, and then look at your child's situation. Is your child mature enough? Can your child handle this? And that's where the decisions should be made.
Okay,
it doesn't
thank
have
you
to be the
much.
Helicopter or the other parent. My pleasure.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. That was a great call, Dr. Frieda.
Well,
we've got another question. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah,
I really was out there. We should elaborate on that more. We've got another call coming in. It's from a 516 area code. Hello, you're live on the air with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Frieda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. My name is Bob. I'm from Long Island. And I have a question. I have a friend, a very close friend, and under normal conditions, they're very sane and very fun to be around. But they had this really rotten habit of biting their nails and cracking their knuckles incessantly. Should I approach them and say something to them, or why do they do this, and how can this be corrected?
And this is difficult. I mean, they're doing this as an impulse, but it's something that's obsessive. And so if they stop doing that, chances are that they will do something else different, but with the same compulsive attitude. So this is anxiety disorder if they continue to keep doing this, and something that they really do need help with. And I think you asking them to stop would be great, but I don't know if they could stop with anybody else. They probably continue to do it in other ways. So you could just say to them, you know what, are you okay? You seem nervous. So you really pinpoint the underlying situation, and it makes them think, hey, wait a minute, if I appear nervous, maybe I do feel nervous and I'm not taking care of it. Maybe I should look into it. So I think that's a better approach without them feeling that they're being told that they shouldn't do something. I mean, are you talking about an adult?
Yes, an adult.
Okay, an adult. So if that's what they keep doing, I mean, it sounds very annoying. I mean, is this all the time or just one-time situation?
All the time, constantly, every time that I see them.
So they're a mess.
Yeah, kind of.
Obviously.
But normal. They're under everything else is kind of perfectly normal. I mean, they're not off the page in any other way.
I'm trying to visualize this person. Yeah.
I want to just give you add on something on there too. If somebody's engaging in a habit like that, is that just a bad habit, or is that a form of expressing something that they can't actually cope and deal with?
That's a great question, and it's most likely a conditioned response that they're being as obsessive about what they're doing. And as I said, if they weren't doing that, they'd be doing something else. But you're right, it has become a habit. But the underlying reason why they're doing this to begin with is from some kind of anxiety that they're not comfortable about, and they have to look into it, but why they have to distract themselves. You know, it's like overeating or any kind of habit where you're distracting yourself from the real situation by biting their nails. And what else is it that they're doing? Biting their nails and what else?
Cracking knuckles.
Cracking their knuckles. I mean, they must have huge knuckles by now. That's very unnerving. How do you talk to this person when they're doing this?
You just pretend that it doesn't exist, and you just talk normally, and it just continues.
And they do this with other people too, not only you.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So it's nothing personal. I don't know how you can sit and ignore something like that, but when you have somebody who's doing that in front of you, they're really in a bad place, because just considering the other person who you're talking to is something that's very important. And when they're doing this, they're more into it themselves rather than really connecting to you completely. So what is it about themselves that they have to keep gratifying all the time and doing this so they can be comfortable? You know, cracking your knuckles is like releasing tension. Where is that tension coming from that they have to keep doing this? So yeah, that person has issues that needs to be looked at. And that person does need therapy, by the way. I hate to say this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You
don't
when you go
to
back
them
to that person,
you can tell them that.
What did you say?
I'm saying now you can go back to that person and tell them, hey, you know, see Dr. Frieda.
Well, you can see somebody else, maybe somebody that lives closer to you. But what's really important is that anxiety is somebody who needs to indulge in themselves and, you know, cracking your knuckles. I remember when kids were in school, they used to do that. It was funny. It was a game. But then, you know, your hands end up looking deformed too. So it does get in the way. This guy definitely has some things to talk to his therapist about. I'm sure he'll find somebody good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Anytime. Call again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Rita, those are some good calls for today thus far. And when the lady called and she was talking about the helicopter parenting, there are reports right now of parents actually using drones to watch their kids. What do you think are some of the long-term impacts of helicopter parenting? Like, what impact does that have on a kid when if they become an adult? Do they just lose all expectations of any form of privacy? Do they lose the capability of becoming independent, like at least in thought, at least in action?
Well, you know, it's important to know that if your child is walking somewhere where it's isolated and he has to go or she has to go a long way, it's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. Okay. So you can know what's going on. They even have videos in school, so you can watch your child from your office. Well, that's great. Or from your when they're home with a babysitter. But those things, you know, can really take your child out of danger. That's different than having to tell your child every move that they make and what to do and watch them so closely that you're attached and too attached. And that's when the child becomes too dependent, doesn't have their own mind, and then in relationships that form after that, there's a dependency issue, and that your child could easily be controlled by their partner later on in life. So these are real concerns when you're making that kind of decision.
Okay. Now, as far as some of the other topics they focus on, it's about raising kids. You've raised five children. Of all the kids you raised, what do you think was some of the biggest challenges that you had?
I just had a great challenge just right before I got on the radio here.
Really?
Two of them did not want to take the piano lesson, and then two of them decided to take it at the same time. And I'm not talking about the twins. I'm talking about my 7-year-old and my 14-year-old.
Okay.
And who would be the one to take the piano lesson, which was not an easy thing. And I had to make that decision. And the decision was based on the fact that my older one had another schedule appointment to go to. So the 7-year-old, and rightfully so, was very upset and started crying and got really in a place of having a tantrum, but he was right. So these are the things that happen, you know, in the ordinary everyday life of having conflicts with kids and with twins, especially, that they are beginning to want different things and they're in the same class together. They know the same kids. So there's this, you know, pull who they're going to play with. One will play with another one. You know, all these things. So it's lively for sure. It's high energy for sure. And was that the question, Ryan? But
talk a little bit about, you know,
a lot of activity.
So the bigger challenges are now. You know, you've raised children from, like, I guess different. I mean, your children are. Part of the age difference. What are the range of the ages of your children?
Well, they're huge. So
okay.
This is something that can be very shocking for most people to hear. It's shocking me when I'm going to say it. Because the reason it's shocking me is because I don't feel any different than I did when I had my oldest. Because to me, life is just a succession of events, and I feel fine, but 40 to 8.
Okay.
Yep.
No.
I have a 40, yeah.
How have things changed? Like, how have things changed in the era that you've raised each one of your children? Do you feel that the technology has been made parenting a little bit more challenging? Do you feel that when your oldest child was growing up, that the schools were a little bit better and maybe didn't have such, rampant things going on with the teachers and the school shootings? I mean, how has it changed for you? How has each child that you've raised,
you know,
each generation been different?
Big deal that's really gone on, that's really changed. The minute you asked me that, what really popped into my mind was computers. This technology is really ruining kids. They're not
really
out there as much. They're just involved with these games, and they're aggressive, and these kids become aggressive when they're finished playing these games. So they feel a sense of control with these computers, but then they're not living life and they're not in as good a place. So that's been the biggest change, really. And also the second thing, talking about parenting, is I find that parents are much more hands-on. I think it's unfair that in school when kids have homework, that the projects are wonderful according to who their parents are, how creative the parents are. So I think that's unfair. But yes, and the parents hover over the teachers, you know, buy them fancy gifts for the holidays, whatever they can do to get their kids to do well. So to me, it's already obnoxious. It's like, give me a break already. Do your own thing, have your own life, and let the kid learn about himself on his own. So this is a major change that the parents are very involved with their children as far as their grades are concerned, as far as their afternoon activities. I mean, my kids are going to take tennis now. They just finished photography. Before that, they just took golf. This is all after-school activities.
Wow, this is great. Wow, sounds like you have them pretty active.
Yeah, good for them. But if I don't sign up, they're going to feel left out when everybody else is doing all this stuff.
Wow.
So it's an ongoing event of activities. It's very different with parents, too. It's always
so
tough.
You always have to keep them going on, and that you always want to keep them stimulated and doing things.
Yeah. You have to be a big part of the school. Schools are different, but the important thing is just to tell everyone that's listening out there that even though life is speeding up, doesn't mean you have to live up to everybody's expectations. You have to do what fits and what's right for you so you can feel a sense of comfort, because other people are living their own lives and doing what's good for them. So the worst thing you could do is to try to belong. Do not make an attempt to sell yourself to anybody. It never works anyway. The best thing to really do is to set it up a lifestyle for yourself and your kids that you can lead the way for them so they can fit into their own pace. And then they can go ahead and do that to their own children as well. So that's just a bit of advice I'm giving everybody out there, not to get caught up into this web of having to always be in charge and be on top and always be doing. It's craziness out there, so too much. So anyway, it's been a great pleasure talking to everybody. I hope somebody got something out of it sometimes, and
I'm
hope
sure
that we can do this. Yeah.
Yeah, where can people learn more about you?
Well, I have that website, Dr. Frieda, and they can hear me on my radio interviews that I have going and on my radio show. And sometimes I'll be in the media here and there on television if they call me, when they call me. And I'm a public speaker. I'm a motivational speaker. I've won many awards doing that. And, of course, I'm a psychologist. I can't forget about that one. And writing a book now, Shattering the Mold. I'm in the midst of that. And my book is going into its second edition. It's been sold out.
That's,
so that's a good
thing. That's
the
one, what,
yeah.
What Price Power?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And, of course, okay. I'm a mother, as you just mentioned. I can't forget that.
with only five children.
Only five kids. What can I tell you?
That's great.
It's become part of my life. That's it.
Okay.
So it's
we'll
been
see
great
everyone.
Talking to you, Ryan.
You too. And we'll see everyone here back next week, next Friday.
Looking forward to
at
it.
4 p.m. Eastern Time.
More call-ins. That was fun. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Take care.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
With his issues and attaining happiness, Dr. Birnbaum has been featured on Oprah 2020 and some of the biggest TV